Now we reach part three of our dramatisation of Clarissa. Using the pretext of an outbreak of fire at their London lodgings, a notorious bordello, Lovelace has forced his way into Clarissa's room at night, shaming her and exposing her to potential ruin. In the episode that follows, we witness Clarissa's ultimate degradation at the hands of Lovelace.
Clarissa, The History of a Young Lady, by Samuel Richardson. Adapted in four parts by Hattie Naylor. Part 3. Imprisonment. The 21st of January, 1748. Jack. Oh, Jack. Curse upon her scheming and her wicked escape. Yes, scheming. So artful a creature, Jack. Though she be Clarissa Harlowe. I thought it was owing to her modesty that after a few innocent freedoms, she could not look me in the face, but all the time she was contriving to rob me of the dearest property I have ever possessed. Clarissa Harlowe. And all this within full view of the consummation of all my wishes. The pretender, Captain Tomlinson, so nearly had her signing her life to me. How, God of love, do I deserve this? But I will find her again. Do not fear. Jack, she will yet marry. Your desperate friend, Robert Lovelace.
Dearest Anna, after my last letter full of hopes and promise, the contents of this will surprise you. I have escaped. Heaven be praised. I have escaped. Only with the greatest difficulty did I preserve myself from the vilest dishonour last night. It was through begging and tears that I am still as I was. I have found respite in lodgings in Hampstead run by a Mrs. Moore, and now have no other concern than reconciliation with my family, which is being so kindly pursued by my uncle and Captain Tomlinson. That much sought-after reconciliation is the only reason I would have married such a man as Robert Lovelace. But that, too, now is beyond what I could endure. Dearest Anna, my one and only friend, you have mentioned in your last letter a Mrs. Copping who has lodgings in Deptford. I will await here until I receive news regarding that accommodation. Write soon, dear Anna. I fear I am not safe here. Your devoted friend, Clarissa Harlowe.
She's on her own.
Not a company.
She seems a lady.
But with no family.
Well, I don't pry.
Has she paid you up front?
Oh, yes. I wasn't born yesterday.
Weren't you?
No.
You're taken in so. Always have been.
Like I say, Mrs. Rawlins, she is most polite. And I think saddened in some way. Ooh. And no, I am not going to ask her. A lady like that you can't ask.
I could ask.
I know you could.
I'll ask now if you like.
You'll leave her be. These are my lodgings. I won't have my guests tampered with. Oh, she approaches.
Mrs. Moore?
Yes, my dear.
Would it be at all possible to have some tea brought up?
Certainly, my dear.
Thank you. You are very kind.
Mark you, Mrs. Rawlins. A lady to the last. Tea. And it is exactly 4.
You are talking about a woman, aren't you, Belford?
Yes.
Well, you know there's no evidence to suggest that they have souls.
I'd be very surprised if they haven't.
Well, you clearly haven't known as many women as I.
All right.
No one's known as many women as you, Bob.
True.
It is a crime passionnel.
Oh, it's not a crime of passion.
A crime passionnel.
I must find her.
Obsession.
What?
Obsession!
It's Italian for obsession.
Oui, obsession. Obsession is the same word in French.
Is it, Torvi? What is it in German?
Rechtech, I think. What does that mean, oblong?
Are either of you listening to me?
And after all your rakish deeds, it is so very tragic to witness. She is a woman, just like any other woman.
She is not like other women.
Isn't she, Robert? Looks to me like she's turned both your heads. Devil take her, I say, especially if she's gone off without falling prey to the loveless seduction. Devil take her.
I will find her, Jack.
I don't doubt it.
I have a new man, you know him well. Patrick MacDonald, who is masquerading on my behalf as one Captain Tomlinson. He's searching as we speak. He is highly accomplished in the hunt for errant wives.
She's not your wife.
In none but word.
No, she's not your wife. You have no claim to
her. I have every claim to her.
Why can't you let her be?
Possession.
Oh, do be quiet, Torvi. Ill or not, be quiet. Haven't you had your fill of trying her virtue?
Don't try our friendship too much, Jack.
Well, that sounds like a threat, and I wouldn't risk a swordsman such as Robert Lovelace. Now, you come, be friends. Be friends for your ill companion's sake. Shake hands, dear friends. They're good.
Oh, Bob, I fear for you.
Why?
A love that drives good friends apart and shall ruin you, Bob.
I'm not to be ruined by Clarissa Harlow.
Oh, really? I pity you. What you have is a type of madness.
Is our friendship to be tested too, Torvi?
I fear. Why? Forgive me. Sorry, it's my breath. I lose my breath and I... It hurts so, you know. Bob. Jack, you see it?
What is the matter with him?
He cries. Some days he cries. Hand me that flannel, Bob. He's eating up again.
I see!
What can he see?
My days. Such bad things.
No, not so bad. A few brawls, some women, yes. A few hurt.
Oh, yes, so you say, Bob, so you say. It's a comfort. My days of feasting. Oh,
what's he looking at?
Not so bad. No, not so bad. No, women do not have souls. Is that true, Jack? Is that true, Bob? You see, then they can't be hurt. Then they can't, you see. Curse you at heaven's door. Can they, Jack? They can't. They can't curse you at heaven's door.
What is he talking about?
He believes he's going to hell.
Oh, there he is. There he is again.
What does he see now?
He smiles at me.
Who is it?
You'll make him go, Jack. You'll make him go. Please go for me. It's not so bad. It's not so bad, you heard them say, because I never meant them any harm.
Close your eyes. Lie back. Lie back, Torvi. Lie back.
You tell him. You don't let them curse me at the gate. I didn't know. I didn't, Jack. I didn't.
That's it.
I didn't.
That's it. Lie back.
You must forgive me. You must forgive me.
He's in a lot of pain. The doctors have prescribed laudanum, but it helps little.
It's in his mind, the phantoms he sees.
Oh, yes, they persecute him.
Or he persecutes himself.
Perhaps.
Because he believes he has sinned.
Yes.
I don't believe he's been so wicked. Oh.
You mean less than half as wicked as you?
I won't die like this.
No.
Mr. Lovelace!
I thought I told you I didn't want to be disturbed.
She's found!
Dear Jack, I am about to depart for Hampstead. My beloved secret hideaway. My favourite haunt. The one place I was certain to find her quickly and easily. Dear girl. Now, Jack, I have a brilliant stratagem. For I am going in disguise. I am wearing a large blue hat, marked and bent. A thick overcoat, grey and mottled. Voluminous, ugly, unfashionable attire. And carrying a walking stick for my old joints. And I wear a beard, Jack. A beard! I have perfected what I believe is a convincing impersonation of an elderly man from the West Country, and so my disguise is complete. It is so I may come as near as possible to my charmer before she recognizes me, and then, once within my hold again, there will be no escape. I will bind her with my cunning, and then take my just and reasoned revenge. Virtue's trial. The excitement I feel overwhelms my senses, for soon my beloved will be in my arms again.
Madam! Madam!
I'm up here, sir.
Oh, there you are.
Will you be good on the stairs, sir?
Certainly.
There are 14 steps, I believe, sir.
Oh.
Can I be of assistance?
No, I'm managing well.
You don't sound well, sir. Shall I come down and take your arm, sir?
No, thank you, madam. I will get along.
There are but a few steps left. Oh, great heavens!
It's just my own knees. Can't be helped.
I'm fearful of you climbing more, sir. Your rooms are on the floor above.
Oh, don't worry yourself, madam. I'm fitter than I look. Now, my old wife is very particular about her room. It must be a fine room. You understand, Mrs. Moore? It is Mrs. Moore.
Yes, sir.
My wife will want the best room you have. She likes her comfort, and I'll not be one to deny her.
Well, the best room is on this floor, sir, and taken. But the lady says she will not be here for much longer, sir.
Oh,
maybe you should climb no further, sir. I do worry about you going up to the next floor.
Perhaps I could just peek into the finer apartment, so I may be more particular to my wife regarding the furnishings.
Well, she is a shy lady.
Oh, but say, madam, if it be improper, if the lady likes to be private.
No, the lady is good-natured. I'm certain it will not offend. This is the room, sir. I will knock.
And you can't agree any time, Mrs. Moore, that we could have the other room.
Mrs. Moore?
Yes, madam?
Please, tell the gentleman that I will stay here for 2 or 3 more days. But I am happy to move to apartments above.
Not in the world. I would not have such a considerate woman move for my part. This is indeed a fine room.
But nothing so fine as the lady I see before me.
Oh, no. No. Please, no.
Is that a disguise? Were you in disguise?
My beloved.
What sort of a man are you? Oh, dear lady. What have you done to her? Mrs. Rawlins? Mrs. Rawlins? And that beard isn't real either, is it? Oh, has she fainted? Goodness, is she ill, Mrs. Rawlins? Do you need an officer?
He was in disguise.
Who was?
He was.
In disguise?
Shall I fetch an officer, Mrs. Moore?
Has she fainted? Is she fainted?
Oh, doctor, Mrs. Moore, shall I call a doctor?
No, none is necessary.
My dear, my dearest love, look upon me, my angel. I'm not angry with you. I forgive you, my best beloved.
She is my wife, dear ladies. My runoff wife.
I think she's still breathing.
Oh, she's coming round.
Is he gone? Hide me. Please, hide me.
My dearest, I will withdraw. Mrs. Moore, if you would stay with the lady and comfort her.
I certainly will.
See, I leave you as you wish, my angel.
Indeed. You go.
I leave you now.
Yes, be gone. Be gone. Betrayer. Make him go. Miserable, ruined, undone. Make him go.
I go. I go.
The young woman appears to abhor you, sir.
It is complicated, dear lady.
And she is your wife?
Oh, yes. I am so relieved to have found her. Oh.
Oh, sir.
Mother spoiled. It's her mother's fault. All her mother. If you, madam, had a husband that loved you as I love her, you would not run off.
Oh.
Exposing yourself to hazards as my dear does. But I will leave you and hope she will be in calmer spirits when I next visit.
Oh, come, sir. Tell me your tale. You speak as a gentleman and look as a gentleman should. Perhaps in telling me, I may be of assistance to you both.
I would not trouble you, madam.
Please, it is no trouble.
It is not the first time, no, indeed. She is jealous, Mrs. Rawlings. May I call you Mrs. Rawlings?
Oh, of course, sir.
No, this is not the first time she has run off.
Oh?
I love her so, Mrs. Rawlings, and know not what can be done. She is prone to fits, to ravings, jealous ravings.
Oh, she was calm before you came. Teary, yes, but not raving.
We were in fine lodgings with a Mrs. Sinclair, a good widow of one Captain Sinclair. And my dear wife took offence at this good woman and her concern for my welfare, seeing how I trembled at my wife's outbursts, and I...
Oh, I can see there is more, sir.
Oh, you have a penetrating eye, Mrs. Rawlings. But I fear I have laid enough of my woes upon your patience.
Sir, I know too well the trials of young love.
I can see you are a wise woman, Mrs. Rawlings, patient and wise.
Oh, please continue, sir.
Her family do not agree with her choice of husband, so I have vowed not to take what is my right, if you understand my meaning. Until there is a reconciliation between my beloved and her relations. A good man, Captain Tomlinson, is helping in these delicate negotiations with her intractable family.
Yes.
It has caused my beloved untold grief.
Oh, poor dear.
And, well, there was a fire at our lodgings. And fearing for my wife, I went into her chambers, and there she mistook my concern for something other, which is only a husband's right, but which I have sworn not to take before her family's blessing.
And so many would do otherwise, sir.
She mistook my concern.
Oh.
And in the morning took a chair to your fine lodgings to hide from me. Oh, it is my fault. I frightened her, Mrs. Rawlings. I frightened her, my best beloved.
These things can be mended, sir.
And she has a friend. Dear Mrs. Rawlings. A friend, a Miss Anna Howe. Not married, you see. Who would not be parted from her. And she writes such letters, Mrs. Rawlings. Such letters that drive us still further apart.
Oh.
I believe it is this Miss Howe who supports these skittish adventures of my wife.
Young wives can be most skittish, and young women together can make willful contrivances.
Oh, she does not mean to be so, Mrs. Rawlings.
No.
For I am the man of her choice and have reason to think that she loves me above all men.
Oh.
But her jealous fits, her tender temperament, and the unkind reasoning of her family and friends hurt her and make her vulnerable to their plotting.
Oh.
How is she, Mrs. Moore?
She is calmer.
I will go in again.
She does not wish to see you, sir.
He is her husband.
I have rights, Mrs. Moore. Please do not deny me my right to talk to my wife. For that is all I wish to do. And I have been so desperate without her.
No. I would not wish to stand between husband and wife, if that is what you are.
Please, ladies, will you come with me then? So she is assured by your company. For there is no part of me that would wish her further distress, and your presence would be a comfort, I'm certain.
Yes, of course, sir. Mrs. Rawlings?
Oh, yes, of course. She is prone to fits.
Is she?
Fits and raving.
I saw no sign of it before.
It is quite a tale, Mrs. Moore.
Is it?
It is. Well, Mrs. Moore, she's skittish.
Is she?
Very apparently.
Mm.
He loves her so. She goes off.
goes off?
Has jealous ravings. Has a wicked friend called Anna something. Oh. She exposes herself to hazards.
What type of hazards?
Lady hazards.
What?
Oh, he loves her so. And her family do not agree with their choice.
He was wearing a false beard, skittish.
I see no evidence of skittishness.
Skittish and mother spoilt.
Mother spoilt?
But he was in disguise. I thought his beard real. True love, Mrs. Moore, will go to any lengths.
Will it?
It will.
Ladies.
Shall we go?
Oh, yes.
You are not welcome here, sir. Leave my chambers.
Be calm, my love. These ladies will stay with me. We will not be alone together if that alarms you.
Go immediately from my sight.
Here, just a few words.
No!
Just a few words from a man that loves you.
Why must I be pursued and hunted? Have you not made me miserable enough? Destroyer of all friends! I am content to be poor, low, miserable, and alone, as long as I may be free from your persecution.
She raves.
My dear creature, how you frighten me. You will not easily recover from the effects of this violence.
Base wretch!
Have patience, my love. Be pacified.
Unhand me, sir!
Should you touch her, sir?
I will not be touched by you. What right do you have to persecute me?
Well, if she's his wife...
What right? Well, you know what right. Here, my love, I have a letter from Captain Tomlinson.
I will receive nothing from your hands.
But it concerns the reconciliation. The much-sought reconciliation with your family and friends.
Be gone!
The lady does not wish you to be here, sir.
What is this, my love, when we were recently so happy?
Happy?
Oh, Mama.
Forgive me, dear ladies. This man has brought me such misery. I am not myself.
Oh, madam.
No, dear love.
I have been in a wilderness of doubt and error since I met him.
Come, dearest heart, read the letter. And here I have another from Lady Betty and my cousin Charlotte. Both are in town, both anxious to meet you. Please, Clarissa... Please?
Oh.
It is my family's wish, Lord M, my aunt and cousin, that we should be reconciled.
I will not read anything from you.
But this is from my aunt, from Lady Betty. She begs an interview.
Will Lady Betty come here?
If my love is in agreement.
Mrs. Moore, a real lady in your establishment. What an honour that would be.
Please, leave me.
Come, sir. You said you had no desire to bring further distress to the lady, and yet it would seem that your presence here brings her great disquiet. I would ask you to leave now.
Good Mrs. Moore, you are a woman of integrity and consideration. I will, of course, leave. But, dearest, please consider these letters. So much of all our shared wants are within them.
Leave me!
Yes, you see, I go willingly, my love, willingly from your company.
Look, he goes, madam.
As you and these good women desire.
Dear Jack, so, she is found. I will now continue my letter of yesterday. Mrs. Rawlings was easily won over to my cause, but Mrs. Moore proved to be, initially, a more doubting lady. I told both women that I despaired, that it would always be hard between us while Miss Howe had so strange a predominance over my spouse and remained unmarried herself. And I told them that I dreaded a letter I felt certain bound for Mrs. Moore's lodgings from Miss Howe, who I am convinced has secured further lodgings to encourage another hazardous flight from her loving husband. I told them Mrs. Sinclair's abode was a very handsome home and fit to receive the first quality. A widow gentlewoman, not unlike you, Mrs. Moore, I added. I gave them my letters from Lady Betty and Captain Tomlinson to peruse. I could see the effect was as I had hoped. Mrs. Moore sighed and said it was a most particular case. And finally, to secure their undivided blessings, I explained that I was quite desperate. With regards to my spouse, I had but one wish left, that if it pleased God to bless us with children, then, perhaps, she might entirely recover her usual serenity, and we might then be happy.
So, Bob, you have won them over, as of course only the most conniving of men could. And I would suppose that the rogue Patrick, as the honest Captain Tomlinson, continues his cunning toward the pretend reconciliation with her family. Who would believe that a heart as black as yours walked the earth? I beg for your soul, let her go. Do not pursue her still further, this gracious and gentle woman. Yours, Jack.
I hope you will excuse me, Captain Tomlinson, for keeping you waiting.
Ah, it's no trouble, madam.
My apologies. I have not been well.
Oh, will you sit, madam?
Yes. Thank you, Captain Tomlinson. And you, sir, do not stand on my behalf.
Ah, thank you, madam.
How Mr. Lovelace has found me, I do not know. But by artful and deceitful devices, I am certain. Things are quite altered since you last saw me, sir.
Oh, you surprise me, madam. And I am sorry to hear this. Sorry for your sake and your uncle's.
He maintains there was a fire in the house and he... He is a most calculating man.
I know something of the event from what Mr. Lovelace has confided, but I...
He has no rights over me. I have reason to believe he is capable of any vileness.
How unhappy this news will be to your uncle. I had told him of your contentment when last we met.
Oh, sir, you don't know how many premeditated offences I had forgiven when last I saw you. You know not what type of man he is. Impolite, rough-mannered, and using his worldly and personal advantages to set him above others. When I look back at his whole behaviour, I see clearly his calculating art. And to such a poor young creature, for I am very young, sir.
Indeed, dear lady.
But now you may tell my uncle, if you please, that I cannot agree to his mediation. Tell him that my guilt in giving this man an opportunity to spirit me away from my family, harshly as they treated me, stares me every day more and more in the face. And still more, as I feel my father's curse gathering force and strength from this man.
Far be it from me, madam, to enter too closely into so tender a subject, but he owns there was not premeditation of his offence, and the fire...
He cannot clear himself, Captain Tomlinson. I am convinced that there was a wicked confederacy within Mrs. Sinclair's household.
Only one more word, madam. He tells me that you promised to pardon him?
No. He extorted that promise from me, as well he knows. I promised only to shield myself from the vilest outrage.
I could wish, madam, that inexcusable as his behaviour surely is, has he not something to plead regarding that promise? And for the sake of appearances to the world and to avoid mischiefs that may follow if you absolutely break with him... Could you not prevail upon your natural, generous heart and forgive him?
I cannot.
If not for him, then for your father and mother, who deplore the loss of their daughter, whom your generosity to Mr. Lovelace may restore. Your uncle has made some steps, madam, towards a general reconciliation. He has spoken with your mother.
And what, sir, did my dear mother say?
Your mother, madam, burst into tears, and your uncle felt he could not proceed with the subject, but he intends to do so the moment that he knows you are truly married. He will then enter into conference with your father upon it, having expressed a desire to be reconciled with you to your mother.
Are you an honourable man? Oh, forgive me, sir. Only it seems to me that once I was surrounded by honourable men and women, and of late... Well, of late...
My dear madam...
You suggest to me a worthy heart and a man with children, I have been told.
Yes, sir.
And with age and experience. A good man. Are you not a good man, Captain Tomlinson? You look as a good man looks.
I believe I am an honourable man, madam.
And that you are, tell me truly, yes. For
For a worthy heart such as yours has no fear of being looked into, that you are my uncle's friend.
I believe so, madam.
Yes. I cannot be his. I would never be happy, and would not bring Mr. Lovelace happiness. Do you see? I must resign to the will of Providence, and I will wait here until I receive a letter from Miss Howe.
Madam, if you cannot forgive his offence, and I am now sure that it must be much greater than he said, if you are absolutely determined, be pleased to let me know what I shall say to your uncle.
Mr. Lovelace, you are not welcome here.
No, you must hear me. You must let me defend myself. The fire was not premeditated. You must believe me. Let me own to you, Captain, that I have been a very faulty and a foolish man.
I will not listen to your recapitulations.
Well, you must! What harm is there in listening to me? You may renounce me forever, but for an occasion so truly accidental, for an offence so slight, and in renouncing me, you end all hopes of the sought-after reconciliation with a family that is so dear to you. Please, my angel, forgive me.
I cannot.
Please! Restore me to your good opinion. Surely I have not sinned beyond forgiveness. You say I extorted the promise from you, but my obedience was not due to the promise of your forgiveness, but it was in the mistaken impression that my actions were not so great that they could not be forgiven.
You gave me no choice.
But I believed you. Please, let us be as we once were, before I offended. I will go to town and bring the license. Captain Tomlinson?
Yes?
You shall be witness to the deeds.
No, none of this. Are you going, sir?
I am, madam. I would have been glad to do you service, but I see it is not within my power.
I am sorry, sir. I am sorry for the trouble I have put you to.
And I also.
Captain Tomlinson?
What is it, Mr. Lovelace?
What I had thought of was that the dear creature, if she will not forgive me, as she promised, would she suspend her displeasure until Lady Betty arrives? The dear creature may put herself into my aunt's protection and accompany her to her seat in Oxfordshire. It is her ladyship's purpose to prevail upon Clarissa to do so.
Madam?
I know not what to do. A young, friendless creature has no one to ask. I will wait. I must wait for the letter from Miss Howe. Then I will decide. You must excuse me, Captain Tomlinson. I am quite worn out. Indeed, this man exhausts me.
Certainly, madam. Is she gone?
Yes.
For heaven's sake, Lovelace, take pity upon her. I cannot proceed. I will not. She deserves better. Why do you grin?
I am grinning because the greatest fraudster in London has found a soul.
She would bring out the soul in anyone apart from you. I doubt if you have one, Lovelace.
Well, then I have nothing to fear from heaven or hell, Patrick.
But do you intend to marry her?
I think so. Well, yes. But first, to gratify my pride, I must bring down hers. Neither her virtue or her love can be satisfied but by the final trial and her forgiveness. Then, perhaps, hateful as a life of shackles is to me, I will marry her.
Thank you, Captain Tomlinson, for all your help in this delicate matter. And here's a further advance for services rendered, honest Captain.
Now take care, Lovelace. The little soul you have left may choke you yet.
Mm-hmm.
Are you expecting a messenger?
We're expecting the delivery of a letter from Anna Howe.
Do you think that's it?
Yes, I think it is. Take off your hat and coat.
What?
Pretend to be the servant here.
What, now?
Yes, now, Patrick. Now, before he sees you. And get the letter from him.
And how am I to do that?
I don't know how. Attempt to.
And what if he won't give it to me?
I will think of some other ruse. Delay him. Offer him food. Anything.
Is a Miss Clarissa Harlowe to be found at this address, sir? Are the letter that should be put into her hands only?
I can take it, boy.
No, I think not, sir. With due respect, sir. My instructions are very certain. I would not want to defy my mistress, sir. Is Miss Arlo here?
Yes, she's within. We'll find her. But tell me now, are you hungry from your travels, boy?
Mrs. Rawlings, just the lady.
Oh, how can I help you, sir?
I have told you of Miss Howe.
Yes, indeed you have.
And how her conniving letters create strife and unhappiness between myself and my dear wife.
Indeed.
Well, a messenger has arrived. I believe with a letter from Miss Howe for Clarissa.
Oh, how awful.
Be her.
Be her?
The servant boy will not know what Miss Harlow looks like. Oh. It will work, I am certain of it. It must be delivered into her hands, he says. So you must help me, I beg you.
Of course, dear man, of course.
Let me place you in the drawing room. Darken the space. And, perhaps you could hold a handkerchief to your face. As if you have a cold.
Of course, Mr. Lovelace. Anything to help you and the dear lady.
Let the boy come in.
Oh, it's good pie. Thank you, sir.
Good, good, good. Go in now, young man.
And who might you be, sir?
Mr. Moore, owner of this establishment. You have a letter for our dear Miss Clarissa Harlow, I believe.
I do, sir. To be delivered into her hands only.
Then do come through. Follow me. She is not well and has been sleeping, so the curtains are drawn. Miss Harlow?
Oh.
Miss?
Oh. I have a letter for you, Miss Harlow.
Oh.
She does not stir. She has been most ill.
Miss? Miss Harlow?
Oh, who calls me?
I have a letter for you, Miss.
From my beloved friend?
I believe so, Miss.
Oh, thank you.
I'm to wait for a reply, Miss. That is what I've been instructed.
Will you apologise to my dear friend? As you can see, I'm quite ill and can barely hold a glass of water to my mouth. Nor write. My wrists are swelled.
Come, boy.
I'll go then, Miss. Is there anything I could tell my mistress?
Only that I am well looked after.
I will do so, Miss.
Goodbye, dear boy, and thank you.
Thank you, Miss.
She is not as I expected her to be, sir.
No?
I was told she were most... I was told she was the prettiest lady in the land. Not that the lady is unattractive. Well, she is. I mean, say
what?
Oh, my pardon, sir. I'm out of turn.
The dropsy has made her less than she was. Bloated.
Oh, that'll be it, sir. Bloated.
Yes, on your way.
Indeed, sir. Thank you, sir. And thank you, sir, for the pie. It was very fine, sir.
Good journeying, young man. I'll show you to the door.
Has he gone?
Quite gone.
Oh, the letter, Mr. Lovelace.
Thank you, Mrs. Rawlings. I am indebted.
Oh, don't mention it, Mr. Lovelace. Anything to help such a fine sir and his lady.
Ah, yes. What trouble Miss Howe would have brewed if it had fallen into the wrong hands. You see, Miss Howe has found further lodgings. She means to drive myself and my spouse apart.
Such wicked friends.
Oh, yes, Mrs. Rawlings. Such wickedness.
My dear Anna, I have not heard from you and do not know what to do. I await your letter. I hope you are well, my dear friend, and nothing hinders you in your communication. I hope and believe you are seeking accommodation for your lost and troublesome friend. Beloved Anna, I would endeavour an escape from him, but I am certain that his men are everywhere, and feel safer amongst these women than I did with the fearsome Mrs. Sinclair, nothing will persuade me to return to that household. Write to me soon, dear beloved friend. I await word from you. Your Clarissa.
They're here.
It's all in readiness, Mrs. Rawlins. There's no need to fuss.
Goodness, Mrs. Moore, a real lady in your lodgings, who'd have thought?
Open the door for them, Mrs. Rawlins.
Oh, why, this is a lovely establishment, nephew.
Dear aunt, I'm glad you like it.
Hampstead is a fine address.
Your ladyship.
This is Mrs. Rawlings, who has been most thoughtful to my beloved and I. And this is my cousin, Miss Charlotte Montague.
So pleased to meet you both.
This is Mrs. Moore, who is the owner of this fine establishment, and has also been a kind and considerate friend to my dearest.
Your ladyship and Miss Montague.
What charming lodgings you have, Mrs. Moore. And where is our dear niece?
In the parlour, your ladyship.
Then show us through, dear lady.
Of course. Show her through, Mrs. Moore.
I was doing so, Mrs. Rawlins. Mrs. Lovelace awaits you in our parlour. Please go through, your ladyship.
Well, my dear, it is clear that you have been most egregiously treated. And we both know too well where the fault lies.
Indeed we do, Aunt. More tea?
No, thank you, Miss Montague.
May I just...
Not a word, nephew, in your defence. My dearest niece, I must call you niece, as well from love as to humour Lord M's wishes. Permit me to be not an advocate.
No, never an advocate.
I would like to say...
Silence, nephew! But see me as a mediator, and not for his sake.
Indeed, not for him. A biscuit.
No, thank you, Miss Montague.
But Aunt,
nephew, but for your own, Clarissa. He declares that his offence and the fire was not premeditated. Whether it was, my dear, I know not. But as he declares his sorrow... And never did a creature express a deeper sorrow for an offence than he. And as it is a repairable one, let us, for this one time, forgive him. Let us, I say, my dear, see his offence as an offence against me. Against your cousin here. Against all virtuous ladies. See, my dear Charlotte, what a lady he has picked out. Could you have thought that there was a more peerless, more gracious lady amongst us?
Indeed, no, Aunt.
Oh, my dear, sweet child. Lord M and our family have for so very long coveted the alliance between both our families, mine and yours. Oh, you must forgive me. I did not wish to move you to tears.
It's...
Charlotte, do you have a handkerchief for the dear?
Here, dear cousin.
It is so long, your ladyship, so long since I have been in the company of kindness. I had forgotten what kindness was.
Oh, dear girl.
Come, all will be well now. Come, we can do more, I am certain, to reconcile your family. Perhaps, Charlotte, Lord M himself might be encouraged to be involved.
I think he could be, Aunt.
He would perhaps carry some weight with your family. Then perhaps, if you can find it within you to forgive our nephew, perhaps we may find a way forward.
I am awaiting a letter from Miss Howe.
Oh, yes. Your dear friend.
Yes.
Well, as we await this letter, perhaps... let me see. Excuse me one moment, dear child. I must talk with Charlotte. Oh.
Can you look upon me, please?
Your aunt and cousin are most gracious.
Please forgive me, my dear love.
I await my letter.
Clarissa, you promised to forgive me. Clarissa...
It is decided. We will stay with you here until your letter arrives.
These are handsome lodgings. I believe we will be most comfortable. That is, if our company is agreeable to you.
Nothing would make me happier.
Then it's decided.
But we agreed to visit Mrs. Leeson, did we not, Aunt? Today?
Oh, yes. Oh, I had forgot.
Please do not cancel an engagement on my part.
Yes, and she has been quite unwell. Oh, you must come too.
No, I am happy to stay.
I will not hear of it. Come, Charlotte.
That is most kind of you, Lady Betty, but I am very content to await your return.
Forgive me my selfishness, my dear niece, but now I have finally met you, I am loath to part company with such a sweet new friend so soon.
As you wish, Lady Betty.
Good, good. Hats and coats. Tell Mrs. Moore to ask the coachman to bring the carriage round. Is this the right address, nephew?
Yes, aunt.
Coachman!
Are we not at Mrs. Leeson's?
I have some items to collect.
From where? From Mrs. Sinclair's. We thought you too might like to collect your clothes and any other items you might have left behind.
Mrs. Sinclair's, you've brought me to Mrs. Sinclair's.
My dearest life, why this apprehension?
Not that woman, not that woman.
We are here, dear child. What could possibly happen?
I am undone.
Is that Mrs. Sinclair? She does not look like an ogress.
Please, drive on.
I'm just collecting some letters, my beloved. Harmless letters.
Oh, has she fainted? What is the matter with her?
Oh, dear, you must get some air. Tell Mrs. Sinclair to get some water and some hartshorn.
Mrs. Sinclair, get Dorcas to bring some smelling salts.
I will stay here.
What can you have to fear?
You look so pale. She must get some air.
We are with you. Nothing can happen to you.
Here you are, madam. So lovely to see you again, madam. Will she be all right?
Your name?
Dorcas, your ladyship, Dorcas. Oh, you look so pale, miss. Has no one been looking after you, miss?
What concern the servant shows you.
I will lift her out.
Please,
Charlotte, take her hand. We will be with you at all times.
I laid out the dresses I thought you might miss, madam. Such beautiful dresses. Such cloth.
You knew I was coming.
I have some warm milk as instructed and a glass of water, madam.
Mrs. Sinclair.
I know not how I have offended you, madam, but I am truly sorry for it. Truly. We're all most concerned for you and your welfare.
I will collect my dresses and leave, Mrs. Sinclair.
We do love you so.
Do not try me, Mrs. Sinclair.
But we do. We've missed you, haven't we, Dorcas?
Yes, miss. Well, I have, miss.
No, we all have, Dorcas.
Yes. Yes, Mrs. Sinclair. We all have.
Either way, I am truly, truly sorry, dear miss, truly. It weighs heavy to think I could offend. You will always be welcome in my home, dear, and in our hearts. Is that not so, Dorcas?
Yes, it's so.
And I hope you can forgive an old widowed lady that cares so, so much for you, dear. Here, I warmed the milk myself.
Thank you. Would you ask Mr. Lovelace if his aunt might join me?
Of course, madam. So sorry again, madam. Sorry.
How did you know I was coming?
Oh, there was a message sent.
From whom?
Mr. Lovelace.
When? When was it sent?
Well, I can't remember.
Pass me the milk, Dorcas.
There.
Oh, I feel very tired. Try and remember.
Earlier today, I think.
When today? The milk.
They say it's London milk. Tastes horrid, doesn't it? Compared to country milk. They say it tastes like honey. You've had so much, miss.
What?
So much.
Dorcas.
Nothing, miss. Don't mind me. Don't mind Dorcas. Lovely dresses you have. Oh, Mr. Lovelace. I didn't see you.
Lady Betty and my cousin have gone.
Gone?
They have gone to collect their things from last night's lodgings and will return shortly.
My head.
Maybe you should sit a while.
Oh, how long will they be?
A short while.
And they will be back?
Of course. Of course.
Dorcas, how long will it take them to collect their things? How long do you suppose?
I don't know, miss.
But that they'll be back soon.
Yes, miss.
They'll be back.
Yeah, I'm certain of it.
Oh, I feel giddy.
Expect you do.
Oh, I don't think I can stand.
Let me help you, miss.
May I?
If you must. What is it that you want?
It's a letter from Lady Betty. Would you care to read it?
What does it say?
Charlotte has been taken ill.
Then you must order me a carriage and I will join them at Mrs. Leeson's.
Ah, there is no room there.
Then I will go straight back to Mrs. Moore's.
I will order a carriage immediately. Though you should perhaps rest first. You look very pale, Clarissa.
A slight giddiness. I am well enough to travel.
As you wish.
You'll order it now.
I will.
You must lie down, miss.
I am ruined. Can you not see it in his eye? I am ruined, Dorcas. Can you not see his revenge in his eye? What am I to do?
I think he means you no real harm.
Real harm?
Lie down, miss.
Make sure a carriage is got. Dorcas, promise me, make sure it is sent for, please.
You must lie down, miss. You look dreadful tired. I'll loosen your ties, miss, to give you some air. Better, miss, you lie down now. Such lovely clothes. Your dress. Silk. Rich colours. Lace like I've never seen. I've got nowhere else to go, you see, miss.
What's that you say, Dorcas? I'm not sure if I can hear you.
No.
Get a carriage. There's a dear.
No, I don't suppose you can hear me now, miss. I've got nowhere else to go, you see. Who'd have Dorcas, eh? Who'd have squinting Dorcas with her slow eye? They would hear, though. The only place that would have me. The devil's whorehouse. You know, when you sup with the devil, when you talk to him every day, when you wait on him, what can you do but the devil's work? In an house like this, they all love Mr. Lovelace. Mrs. Sinclair, Sally and the other girls you've not seen. Keep the obvious ones hidden from you, don't they? I'm not even good enough for that. Say I'd put the customers off. No, I'd want none of that work. I watch them come in, the young ones, like Sally was once. So lovely. But in a few months in the devil's house, well, you lose a bit of soul, I reckon, each time they... You can't hear me now, can you, miss? Poor miss. It's a curse, I reckon, to look as you do. Means your fate is decided by your beauty. By your beautiful face, not by what is right. I'm so sorry, miss. You're such a lovely lady. You don't deserve this.
This what?
Nothing, Mr. Lovelace. It's not my place.
Is she asleep?
Drowsy, sir.
Will she remember?
I don't know, sir. I'm no apothecary.
You're a cruel man, Mr. Lovelace. And you'll be going to hell.
And where will you be going, Dorcas?
Oh, is my carriage come?
Yes, My love. Beautiful carriage. Six black horses and velvet fittings.
You're to let me go.
Yes, my dearest life.
You're to free me. What are you doing? Please. Please give me your mercy now. Please. I will agree to all things. Please. Please. I beg you.
And trust your promise once more? No. You have lied too often, Clarissa.
Please don't. Please don't.
Clarissa.
Please. Let me go.
I love you, Clarissa. I love you. You are all I've ever wanted. Say you want me to. I know you do. Say this is what you want. Say it. Say it.
No. Please. No.
You're mine. You are now completely mine.
Not yours.
Mine.
Not yours.
Mine.
Never yours.
Mine. All mine.
In Clarissa by Samuel Richardson. Robert Lovelace was played by Richard Armitage. Clarissa Harlow, Zoe Waits. Mrs. Moore, Deborah Findlay. And Mrs. Rawlings was Alison Steadman. Torville was Julian Ryan-Tutt. Belford, Adrian Scarborough. Captain Tomlinson, Stephen Critchlow. And the boy was Kathy Sarah. Lady Betty was Sophie Thompson. Charlotte, Ellie Bevan, Dorcas, Lisa Hammond, and Mrs. Sinclair was Miriam Margulies. Other parts were played by members of the company. Clarissa was adapted by Hattie Naylor, directed by Marilyn Imrie, and is a Catherine Bailey production for BBC Radio 4.
And you can hear the concluding instalment of Clarissa tomorrow at the same time. This month marks the centenary of the birth of the English novelist Patrick O'Brien. He's best known for Master and Commander, the first of his 20-book nautical series set during the Napoleonic Wars. In an episode of Third Ear, recorded in 1992, O'Brien talked to Alan Judd about the critically acclaimed series and the meticulous research he undertook.
When I came to write about naval things, I read in Greenwich and I read in Public Records Office log after log after log, and of course sailors' memoirs.
Yes.
And those immense volumes of correspondence of the great commanders, Collingwood, for example, who was a brilliant letter writer, and Nelson, who was very distinctly less brilliant.
Third Ear with Patrick O'Brien is on BBC Radio 4 Extra next Monday at 1:30 in the afternoon and again at 8:30 in the evening.
Stephen Fry is BBC Radio 4 Extra's comedy controller.
When I was a boy, almost all my friends collected records. Everyone did in those days. And their records were rock and roll, prog rock. But my record collection was mostly comedy.
Letting you listen to his comedy favourites.
There's Galactic Hitchhiking, Listener's Thoughts Down the Line, News on the Hour, and... Oh, I'm sorry, I haven't a clue. Oh, and I'm sorry, I haven't a clue.
Join Stephen Fry for 3 hours of comedy on Saturday morning at 9 and again in the evening at 7 on BBC Radio 4 Extra.
BBC Radio 4 Extra.
It's 11 o'clock and we've stories and drama now, including Beast by Nick Warburton, which won the Tenniswood Award for the Best Radio Play of 2005. It tells the tale of a strange creature found at sea. James Fleet stars in Beast in 15 minutes' time. Then we're into the classic comedy, starting with the sketch show that's a thorn in the side of the unwary continuity announcer, The Berkis Way, at midday.